Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
If you build it, they will come. Joel, seen that movie? He's in the movie, Joe.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
In our 670 The Score studios, Jordan Malley.
Shout out to Jordan Malley.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't. No.
No.
I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, you're going to make it happen.
And Matt, you will be getting your book soon.
Kick back and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
And so all I was saying on this podcast, the Locked On Bulls podcast.
Locked On Bulls, 5 days a week.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt Peck, also host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago, following all 82 Bulls games this season. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls_Peck. You can follow my co-host Jordan Malley at Jordan C. Malley, and you can follow us at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Send us an email, LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. And of course, our text and voicemail line, always there for you, our fellow Bulls fans, 331-979-1369. Send us all of your texts and voicemails with your thoughts on the Bulls, their recent loss to the Milwaukee Bucks, their upcoming January schedule, or maybe you have some fond memories from the 2010s decade that you want to share with us as we reach the end of 2019 and we reach the end of a, at first, very promising and now very depressing Bulls decade. I'll get to my thoughts on the Bulls' loss to the Bucks in just a second. But I first thought I would share, as best I can, my thoughts on what this decade has been for this organization and their fan base. It's crazy to think about. I mean, 10 years is a long time. 10 years is a big window to be a sports fan of any particular team, and a lot can happen in 10 years. A lot does happen in 10 years. I mean, for, you know, those of you who are Blackhawks fans in addition to Bulls fans, take a look at what the Blackhawks did in the front half of this decade and where they are now. The Cubs are another example. They went from irrelevant to breaking a 108-year-long World Series drought, the longest drought in American professional sports history, to now once again looking like a team that might be sadly on the decline. We had to listen to Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy break down the disappointing Bears season that just happened. The Bears had very much so an up and down 2010s decade. But when it comes to the Bulls, it's hard to feel good about starting this new decade that lies ahead of us with what we've seen so far this season. We knew that last season was going to be rough, or at least most of us did, who were looking realistically at what that team's expectations should be. This year we were hoping for something different and something markedly better, though. So thinking about turning the corner and turning a fresh page into a new decade and thinking about what Bulls fans can expect in the next 10 years, I think you find a lot of answers based on what they did well and what they didn't do well over the past 10 years. And it's hard to feel optimistic about the 2020s for this team. 2010 started with a bang. You know, at the back end of the 2009-2010 season, you saw a rising star in a very young Derrick Rose and a very enticing young core involving Rose, Joakim Noah, Luol Deng. That was a fun team. It was a fun team to cheer for. It was an easy team to cheer for. Underdogs, yes, but a lot of talent and a lot of heart. And they bow out in the first round to LeBron's Cavs in the playoffs of 2010, but you felt like something big was coming. Then they bring in an untested first-time head coach in the name of Tom Thibodeau, who had a very impressive resume as an assistant coach on a lot of very successful teams earlier in his career. And Derrick Rose goes from being a second-year All-Star to a third-year youngest-in-league-history MVP. the Bulls get the number one seed. 60 wins. A supporting cast. They add Boozer and free agency after they swing and miss on the big three that go down to Miami. But of any team that looked like they could challenge that Miami squad right out of the gate, it looked like it was going to be our beloved Chicago Bulls, who, by the way, swept that Miami Heat team in the regular season. For all the fanfare, for the championship rally they held themselves before they won a single regular season game, it was like the stage was set for an amazing rivalry between a young up-and-coming Bulls team and a bunch of established veteran stars that all went to go play together in Miami. Derrick Rose has his MVP acceptance speech in the spring of 2011. And the Bulls march to the conference finals, where they ultimately lose to those very same Miami Heat in five games. But even then, you felt like something big was coming. We have a young MVP. We have a solid supporting cast. And yeah, Miami got the better of us this time, but we'll be back. We will be back. And the following lockout shortened season, the Bulls get the one seed again. Yeah, Derrick Rose missed some games, nicked up with a couple of different injuries. It was a crazy packed schedule. But an elite defense and an MVP caliber player, and a solid supporting cast, and the Bulls right back there. Top of the East once again. And you thought, all right, here it is. Playoff time, baby. It's going to happen. We're going to face Miami again, and we might just beat them this time. And the Derrick Rose injury happens. And so much of what has happened since, of course, goes back to that. And I know Bulls fans, myself included, get frustrated when John Paxson continues to, now 7.5 years later, bring up the Derrick Rose injury as an excuse for what is going on with this organization right now and how they have taken so many steps back. And I hate to admit it, but there is a significant impact. Things change when you go from a team that has a young and still improving MVP to not having that. And the Bulls managed to stay relevant as Derrick Rose sat out and rehabbed. Tom Thibodeau getting more from the sum of his parts than they were as individuals. Still having an elite defense. And then a new star rises with Jimmy Butler, which nobody saw coming, based on his fairly unheralded career at Marquette and based on the fact that he was the 30th pick in the draft. But as Derrick Rose faltered, Jimmy Butler rose. And you thought, maybe we still have enough to be relevant. And then in that 14-15 season, Derrick was back on the court. He had, you know, again, a season where he missed some games here and there. But come playoff time, they were there. And now you had Derrick and Jimmy and the supporting cast. They get past Milwaukee in the first round, and there once again waiting is LeBron James. This time with the Cleveland Cavaliers again. Derrick hits the shot in game 3. LeBron hits the shot in game 4. Cavs win game 5. Bulls fold in game 6. That was it. To me, you know, optimists who saw maybe something working with the three alphas here following that, you know, that final last gasp run, the final season of Tibbs, and then the first year of Fred. The Bulls, you know, they bring in Pau Gasol, but you know, they don't make the playoffs. And nothing that has happened since has really meant anything or mattered at all. And yes, I include the Bulls going up 2-0 against Boston in the first round of that playoff series, the three alphas year. Didn't matter. That team wasn't winning anything. LeBron's game winner in game 4 in 2015 was essentially the end of the Bulls being relevant in the 2010s, in my opinion. and the decisions that the team made to move on from Derek, to move on from Joakim, to try awkwardly and, to be honest, poorly to build around Jimmy with the Wade and Rondo signings that were terrible and poorly explained because they didn't really have an explanation as to why they were doing what they were doing. And then to finally say, okay, you know what? We got to move on. And yeah, they were probably heavily considering that Jimmy Butler Supermax contract that was around the corner. And they didn't believe that they could build a contender around him, so they decided to start over. And here we are, 3 years into that rebuild at the back end of this decade, and there's not a lot of hope. There's not a lot of hope right now. At the end of 2019, the Bulls sit at 13-21 in year three of the rebuild. Yes, Otto Porter Jr.'s injury has certainly hurt this team. We all worried about the lack of wing depth on this roster coming into this year, and that being a big concern on a roster that we thought certainly proved to have some more, like, worthy of more optimism than last year. But, you know, Zach LaVine has been healthy. For the most part, Lauri Markkanen has been healthy. For the most part, Wendell Carter Jr. has been healthy. And this team is not really improving all that much. You could say that a lot of the pieces on this roster are regressing this season. Markkanen looks like a worse version of himself than he did when he was a rookie. So that's why I say it's hard to feel optimism coming into the next decade. A decade that began with so much promise. So much promise. I was at the United Center for Game 1 of the Conference Finals when the Bulls blew out the Heat in Game 1. The sky was the limit. There was Michael Jordan at halftime on the United Center floor when the Bulls were honoring the 20th anniversary of their first championship team in 1991, saying, "When you look at this team playing tonight," as Derrick Rose, Joakim Noah, and others sat on the bench listening and watching as the man who built that building was showering them with praise, saying, "Don't be surprised if you have six more rings coming." I remember that vividly to this day, Michael Jordan saying that, and I remember seeing Joakim Noah looking up at the banners in the United Center as MJ said that. And I think myself and many Bulls fans around the world felt the same way that night. We got more rings coming. But shit happens. Injuries happen. And even more so than injuries, poor decisions happen. We don't need to go through them point by point. It's a long list. But the missteps that this organization has taken in the wake of Derrick Rose's first ACL injury have led us to where we are right now. The way that ownership runs this team, the way that they continue to let management run this team, and after kicking Tom Thibodeau out of town, the people they have chosen to coach this team all point to where they are right now. You could be disappointed in Lauri Markkanen's performance last night or this season. You could be disappointed in Zach LaVine not being a 1A star on a contending team. You can be disappointed with players not playing up to their level of expectations that we have set for them, that they have set for themselves. But you have to look higher up to figure out where the real problems are. Roster construction. Scouting. Draft picks. A lack of ability to bring in big names in free agency. A lack of ability to execute trades where you feel confident saying, "I don't know if there was a winner of that trade, but we certainly feel good." There's none of that. There's none of that. If anything that I was hoping to give them credit for, it was that at the time, facing a difficult decision, the Jimmy trade wasn't the worst thing in the world if they really didn't want to pay him the Supermax and didn't believe they could build a winner around him. And when we saw early signs from LaVine, who showed no evidence of ever having torn his ACL with his amazing athleticism that bounced back very quickly, and the early signs we saw from a very talented young rookie, Lauri Markkanen, and the potential we saw in Wendell Carter Jr., despite the disappointment of only getting the seventh pick in that draft, you still felt okay about it? You're trying to feel optimistic about it? But it gets harder and harder to hold on to any semblance of optimism. I mean, yeah, okay. Orlando lost a very winnable game to the Hawks last night before the Bulls ended up getting blown out by the Bucks, and so now the Bulls are still a game and a half back of the eighth seed. And they are so 8 games under 500, having played the easier part of their schedule and facing a daunting schedule from now through April. So what about that should give Bulls fans hope? What? And, you know, we sit here and field your texts and your voicemails and you know, Jordan and I interact with y'all on Twitter, you know, during Bulls games, after Bulls games, 24/7, 365. And we talk about players' performances, but most Bulls fans these days want to see a head coach fired. Jim Boylan is proving that he doesn't have what it takes. And he's proving that John Paxson and this team do not have what it takes to pick the right guys. And the Reinsdorfs continue to prove that they don't give a shit about any of it. So again, what is there exactly to be optimistic about as we close the book on the 2010s and begin a new one in 2020? I wish I had answers. As someone who looks to recent history and looks to facts and logic and reasoning as a fan as best I can, I don't see anything changing. I don't see anything changing between now and the end of the season. I don't see anything changing long term unless different people are running this organization. Players in this league do not respect the Chicago Bulls right now. And that's embarrassing considering what that team, what that logo, and what the Chicago NBA franchise used to mean. They should be able to operate like a big market team because they are a big market team. They should be able to land big name free agents who want to come and play in the house that MJ built. But they don't, because of this story and that story and this player's experience and that player's experience and this player who was traded and that player who was thrown under the bus by a coach and that player who was thrown under the bus by management. What stars would want to come play here? And if you can't have an organization that's respected because of the way that ownership and management operates, and that management also cannot successfully build rosters without the benefit of landing big established stars in free agency, and they can't execute trades, and yeah, they can draft okay, but they still have plenty of misses in the draft, then what gives you hope as a fan for anything different? The only way this changes is if they clean house. And really, even beyond that, I still think that the only way that this really changes long term, start fresh with this organization, build back some semblance of respect across the league instead of being laughed at on the national scope, sell the team. But I do not see that happening. Even once Jerry's gone, I do not see that happening. So I wish I was coming into 2020 with more optimism as a Bulls fan, but I am not. And as the cherry on top, the Bulls got blown out by a real basketball team last night. Did anybody see or expect anything different happening? Yeah, the Bulls hung with the Bucks for a half. The Bulls shot lights out in the second quarter, drained a bunch of threes as Milwaukee was kind of going through the motions. But Milwaukee put the clamps down in the third quarter. Milwaukee started executing their offense to the best of their abilities in their 40-point third quarter. And that was that. That was that. The Bulls' offense started settling for bad shots. The Bulls took 44 threes. The Bucks, meanwhile, just got it done at the free throw line, 20 of 24. Maybe there was some, you know, warranted complaint as far as the free throw discrepancy. The Bulls only took 8 free throws all night. And yeah, they probably should have gotten a few more calls, Zach LaVine in particular, when he was driving to the basket. But as my guy Kendall pointed out postgame last night, you can't expect to shoot a lot of free throws if you're chucking up shots from behind the three-point line. The Bulls took 44 threes and 8 free throws. The Bulls took 107 total shots compared to Milwaukee's 84, and they lost by 20. Why? Because Milwaukee shot 54.8% from the field, and the Bulls shot 37.4%. Efficiency. Offensive efficiency. And yeah, the Bulls, when Milwaukee decided to put a little effort into it, got cooked on the defensive end. We've been hearing for the last few days, all of this Bulls defensive rating, look how good, look how good. They're secretly and quietly becoming one of the better defensive teams in the league. What? My guy, Mark Strotman, who no longer works for NBC Sports Chicago, but did so until very recently and does an amazing job with his Bulls stats, pointed out the other day that coming into that Bucks game, 40% of the Bulls games so far this season were against the 9 worst offensive teams in the league. 40% of their games were against trash offenses. Between that and their focus on getting those steals, those takeaways, the defensive rating was wildly inflated. But you see what happens when they play a competent team with a competent offense. They get exposed. There's not much you can do to slow down Giannis, and that's not just the Bulls' failure. That's every team in the league. Nobody knows how to stop Giannis. But it wasn't just Giannis. Middleton just picked apart the Bulls' defense all night. Bledsoe had a remarkably efficient 15 points in 16 minutes. They got double-digit scoring off the bench from Ilyasova and our old pal Rolo. They got more bench points from Korver, another old Bulls fan favorite, Pat Connaughton. Just a good team playing a bad team. It's what it was. So, forgive me for not taking some solace in the Bulls playing them evenly for a half. The Bulls have played lots of teams evenly for a half, maybe even three quarters. But at some point, the wheels fall off in the second half, and the other team shows the Bulls how to execute, how to make adjustments in game, and the Bulls continue just spinning their wheels on a stationary bike. A hundred and seven shots. You take 23 more shots than your opponent and lose by 20. That's one of the best offensive teams in the league in Milwaukee, averaging, I think, coming into last night's game, like 117 points and change per game. And one of the very worst offensive teams in the league in our Chicago Bulls. I mean, it's crazy. That stat is crazy. The Bulls took 23 more shots and lost by 20. Unbelievable. But at the same time, very believable. I mean, Markkanen had another nice night, or at least he was on his way to one. He had 14 points in the first half, looking efficient, knocking down his outside shot, but only two free throw attempts, and he had 14 at halftime, and he finished with 18. We've seen that story countless times this season. A rough night for Zach LaVine, not efficient, 19 points on 7 of 23. If that's happening, the Bulls aren't winning games. Coby White had a really strong night. Maybe, you know, took one or two too many shots, but the Bulls needed some kind of punch off the bench because, you know, LaVine was having a rough night. Coby had 18 in 33 minutes on 7 of 18. Saw some really nice things from Coby last night. But didn't get a whole lot else from that bench. Thad Young, awful. Awful last night. I they got to trade that guy, but I don't know. I talked about it yesterday. There's this rumor that the Clippers might be interested. They might now have to shift their focus if this Pat Beverly injury turns out to be something more significant. The latest update we heard is that it will be, quote unquote, a few games that Pat Bev misses, but I don't know. Maybe the Clippers decide that they need to refocus to try to make the moves that they need to set themselves up for a deep playoff run. And I don't know, after watching the last couple of games, why they would think Thad Young is a guy worth trading for, a guy worth giving up a pick for, or a guy worth giving up a quality player like Mo Harkless for, even though Mo Harkless is kind of expendable with their roster depth right now. But I mean, and yeah, Thad only played 18 minutes last night, and that's below his season average, and he's unhappy with his season average, but you played Markkanen 27 minutes last night. Jim Boylan did say after the game he was monitoring Lowry's minutes because he's still, you know, fighting his way back from that stomach illness. But he certainly looked to be damn fine, you know, just the other night when he poured in 25 points playing through that stomach illness. And he has 14 points in the first half, and he finishes the game with 27 minutes? What is that? What the hell is that? It's unacceptable, in my opinion. Casey Johnson had a great post on that at NBCSportsChicago.com that I believe was posted earlier this morning. Go check it out. Markkanen is like kind of on par with minutes from his rookie year. He's in year three, and we are all expecting this big leap. We're talking about how Markkanen is underwhelming, and yes, again, not absolving Markkanen from his share of responsibility for the season he's having so far. He needs to be more aggressive. He has recently finally started to look like he's pulling himself out of whatever slump this was, but I still think he's unhappy with this offense, and I still think he's too timid to do anything about it, and that's on him, but it is also on this team's coaching staff. 27 minutes? You have 14 first-half points, and you finished the game with 18 points in 27 minutes? How is that acceptable? It's infuriating. But again, it's nothing different than what I expected. The Bulls get outclassed by teams that are actually good. That's why you don't take any comfort in the Bulls blowing out the Atlanta Hawks. You don't take comfort in the Bulls, you know, beating the Pistons a few times. You don't take comfort in the Bulls beating the Washington Wizards or the New York Knicks. They have one quality win against the Clippers, and it was a Clippers team missing half of its pieces. One quality win through 34 games. And people are talking about this team making a playoff push. Do you know how many playoff-bound, above 500 teams they have coming up on their schedule? Because it's a lot of them. They wasted the generous part of their schedule by losing to bad teams or mediocre at best teams. Well, let's hold out hope for that 8 seed. Orlando lost. We're still only a game and a half back. Look at what this team does against solid competition. They fold. They fail to make adjustments. They get outclassed. That's where they are right now. Sorry to be such a Debbie Downer, but I must speak the truth. Hope everybody has a safe and happy New Year's Eve. If you are out there in Chicago, be safe. Stay warm. It is nasty out there. We got a nice dump of snow last night, so that was nice. I guess we had that coming after our abnormally warm week over the Christmas holiday. Hopefully Jordan and I will be on the mics together sometime later this week to continue bringing you your Bulls content into the 2020 calendar year and into the next phase of this 1920 Bulls season. Thank you again to everybody who listened to our podcast over 2019. New listeners, old listeners, listeners all over the world, we appreciate y'all. As you know, Jordan and I mentioned it a while back, we were very, very proud and appreciative to hit that 1 million listeners mark, 1 million downloads mark for the 2019 calendar year, which we accomplished back in November. Would have never dreamed, Jordan or myself, that we would have this many Bulls fans tuning in and listening to what we have to say about this team that we all love so much. It means a lot to Jordan. It definitely means a lot to me. And our goal is to keep giving you that content on a daily basis as we move forward into a new year and into a new decade as Bulls fans. We appreciate all of you so, so much. Hit us up. Let's talk. I'm at Bulls underscore Pack. He's at Jordan C. Malley. We are at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on that text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Have a wonderful, happy New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, Bulls fans. We will talk to you very soon. Peace out.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com